From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Gavin Newsom is in hot water after making comments last week giving weight to the argument that transgender athletes should stay out of women's or girls' sports. Speaking with conservative political activist Charlie Kirk on the first episode of his podcast, This is Gavin Newsom, the governor called it, quote, an issue of fairness. This has been seen as a 180 from the governor who has championed himself as an advocate and ally for the LGBTQ plus community. If you remember, then Mayor Newsom celebrated San Francisco as being the first city in the country to legalize same-sex marriage more than 20 years ago. So what's up with this shift? Joining us now to break down with these latest developments is Dustin Gardner, co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Good afternoon.
Hi, Vicky. Always good to be with you.
Yep. Thank you, as always, for making the time. When it comes to the governor, Newsom's comments on trans athletes came on the first episode of his new podcast. He isn't new to podcasts overall, but if listeners are kind of curious why he is in this medium, why is the governor doing podcasts?
That's a good question. I think there's been a lot of reactions to this. And the most obvious thing is that he's very seriously thinking about running for president in 2028. And his team wants to find ways that he can get his name out there. And this is a way that his supporters and his allies argue that he can kind of break through a lot of the Republican noise nationally. Republicans have really dominated, especially in the podcast space. And so they see this as a way for him to get out there and kind of break through that conversation and GOP dominance in Washington. That's part of it. And then also, you know, I think I would note at the same time that there has been pushback from some within his own party, particularly after his comments about trans children playing sports. Some members of the legislature, Democrats, a lot of them are kind of privately fuming, and you know, some privately, some publicly, and they're saying, you know, why is he off there doing these podcasts with these right-wing influencers? They argue he should be more focused on his day job. So a bit of a double-edged sword for the governor there.
The first podcast episode was focused on a conservative political activist. For those who didn't listen to the first episode, what stood out to you about the conversation and also that this was the first one in their podcast?
What stood out to me first off is just how much of a pivot this is from the Gavin Newsom that we've known traditionally. Yeah, like you mentioned at the top, this was one of the first, you know, the first leaders of the Democratic Party in the country to grant gay marriages. The governor has been in lockstep with the LGBTQ plus community for almost his entire political career. And this was a real break from his that huge portion of his base. This is the former mayor of San Francisco, and the LGBT movement has been a huge part of his coalition for all these years. And he's in, you know, and he supported policies around transgender people and inclusion of them in sports. That has been his stance for many years. But in recent years, the governor started to sort of, we got inklings that he was evolving on this issue. So I think it's just, yeah, it was really striking in that sense. And it was also striking in the sense that he chose to do this with Charlie Kirk. I mean, this was not, you know, he wasn't putting out some detailed policy memo, or he wasn't putting out, you know, a more sort of nuanced conversation with Democrats about this. He chose to do this with one of the most outspoken, you know, flame-throwing people on the right in the country. And that really caught the eyes of a lot of Democrats.
Yeah. What has been the response from the LGBTQ plus community, especially the organizations and people who have backed the governor over the years?
We saw a lot of statements condemning his comments. Some were more measured, others were more pointed. And the important thing to keep in mind is Democrats in the legislature, they have to go through two more budget cycles with this governor. And they, you know, a lot of them have bills they want to get signed. And so they're hoping that, you know, that they can make a pointed response without angering him too much, that it might affect them in other areas. But I got to say, behind the scenes, people are really, really upset within the LGBT LGBT community, and it could affect the governor's future ambitions. You know, if he runs for president down the road, I think whether he's going to have support from major LGBT organizations, there's a serious question about that now. And I think the likelihood is he won't have support from those groups. So it's very much a divorce between Gavin Newsom and the LGBT movement. But on the flip side, you know, you have Democrats, a lot of moderate Democrats within his party saying they recognize that this was a difficult issue for him to get out there on, and they appreciate that he is pushing this tough conversation on an issue that really hurt Democrats in last year's election. In particular, Donald Trump had an ad attacking Kamala Harris over her stance on trans issues, and that was probably one of the most recognizable ads of the cycle. And Newsom is one of the most prominent Democrats who's been out there kind of pushing this self-reflective conversation about how the party has suffered because of this issue.
So if one motivation is to reach out to Republicans, do you think it worked? Was it a win? Are Republicans opening up to the governor a little more now because of his recent change of heart or stance on this?
We're not seeing that so far. California Republicans have seized on this opening, and they're saying if the governor really feels like this is a fundamental issue of fairness, that there's something unfair about trans girls competing in girls' sports, they're saying that he should go further than his comments and actually try to change state law. California has had a law on the books since 2013 that requires schools to be inclusive of trans students in their sports programs and other programs. And the governor has never tried to change that. And so now I think he faces pressure from Republicans in the legislature who do have bills that would change that state policy. But the governor just hasn't indicated whether he really plans to do anything beyond make these comments. So I think, you know, locally, Republicans see this as an opening. And for example, like Steve Hilton, the former Fox News host, he's considering running for governor in 2026 when Newsom's termed out. And Hilton seized on the comments right away over the weekend, and he called Newsom's stance a fake pivot or a pivot, saying that it was really about the governor's presidential aspirations. So far, the GOP has not responded the way the governor might have hoped.
Yeah. Well, around the time that this is all happening, last week you also reported that senior officials of Newsom's administration are actually trying to discourage Democrats from introducing transgender rights legislation. Why is that the case?
Yeah, so this happened about 2 months before the governor made these comments about trans people in sports, and his chief of staff and his legislative secretary, they met with members of the LGBT caucus in the legislature, and in no uncertain terms, they implied and sent a signal that he did not want any transgender rights legislation on his desk this session. That he, you know, after the election, was just really did not have much appetite for dealing with these issues. And it's notable that the LGBT caucus in the legislature and groups like Equality California, they did in fact go forward with a bill package that has quite a few measures that would expand protections for transgender people. And these are measures designed to protect healthcare access to gender-affirming care, and also to protect the privacy of people's government records and court documents. So I think it's a very notable break that this caucus is saying, we're going to go ahead and push these bills and try to get the governor on board, even though his team behind the scenes was messaging that they didn't want this to happen.
Yeah, and that's behind the scenes. And publicly, he has these comments on this podcast. Is there any indication that the words that he recently said will be backed by policy changes, or maybe not approving these bills if they make it across the finish line?
He just really has not said what the follow-up is. What is, you know, he made these really pointed comments, but there's no policy proposal around it to change any state laws related to transgender access in schools. And so, yeah, he hasn't, you know, done that follow-up yet. But I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to continue to face a lot of pressure on that question, particularly from Republicans. So he's put himself in a position where this conversation is going to keep going all year, particularly if those Republican bills don't advance in the legislature.
I also want to spend a moment on the California governor's race. It'll be here in 2026. Former Vice President Kamala Harris said she'd make a decision on whether to run by the end of summer. What stands out to you about the timeline?
So, the way that she framed this is she's very seriously thinking about it. And she's at, the way that what we reported was that she was waiting until the end of the summer to make a decision. And that's what she's been telling people recently at political gatherings in LA. So it indicates that she's very seriously thinking on about this. But the impact in the meantime is it's kind of frozen the field of candidates running for governor. The field is sort of in stasis. It's already a crowded field, and the other candidates face this difficult question of whether they want to wait for her to make a decision or not. A couple more months, or maybe it comes sooner. But that's a long time to freeze the field for a statewide office. 2026 might sound far off, but if these candidates are serious, they really got to start raising money quite early to be competitive for governor. So I think there's maybe a little, frustration among the field that people are hoping she'd make her mind up sooner. In the meantime, we're seeing a lot of these people that are already in the race look at other statewide contests and think what their fallback plan or their plan B might be if Kamala Harris does indeed get in the race.
Yeah. There's also some big shifts that will be taking place with California Republicans. This weekend is the GOP convention in Sacramento. They will pick a successor to Jessica Milam Patterson, who has served as the party's chair. What will you be watching for this weekend?
And, there's an interesting list of speakers, and one that really immediately jumps out to me is Riley Gaines. She's the former collegiate swimmer turned activist who campaigns against transgender people competing in sports. And she's, her timing with this convention, being the guest speaker for this convention, it's really inconvenient timing for Democrats, given what we were just talking about with the governor, and the ways that the ways that his comments have kind of upended the party's conventional status quo on those issues. So I think Riley Gaines will be very interesting. And the story with Riley Gaines is that she finished in sixth place in a swimming match, but there was a trans woman who finished in fifth place, and that she's kind of built her whole career on political activist career on that match, saying that she was unfairly finishing behind that trans woman, even though neither of them would have been placing in the top three of that race. So I think her comments will be really interesting. There'll be a lot of coverage of that. And then it's also an interesting era, the end of Jessica Milam Patterson's time leading the party. We'll see whether the new chair is someone who's maybe a little more Trumpy, more MAGA in their political instincts. Jessica Milam Patterson, she's led the state party for a lot of years, but she was kind of seen as a more moderate California Republican, someone who might help the state party try to crack its longtime losing streak in California. It's been almost 2 decades since, or about 2 decades exactly, that a Republican has won a statewide election in California. And so she was trying to chart a new course, but the reality is that if anything, the party has moved, of course, closer to Trump and closer to MAGAism, and that direction of those in the party, like Jessica Milam Patterson, who wanted to kind of stake out a more moderate ground for California Republicans, that is just not the direction that it has ultimately gone.
Yeah, I mean, and Republicans are still a super minority in the state legislature here in California, but they do also serve in leadership positions on committees. And there was some reshuffling that also happened last week. There were Republican committee members in the assembly, several GOP legislators that were essentially removed from these key positions. What happened with that?
Yeah, so Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas, he really what he was doing was punishing some of the most outspoken rabble-rousers among the GOP assembly members. These are folks that were on powerful committees like the Health and the Budget and the Elections Committee. And they had made a lot of noise and created headaches for Democrats on those committees. And I think, even though Republicans are still a super minority in Sacramento, especially in the assembly, they did pick up 2 seats this last election cycle. That's the first time in a decade that they've actually gained seats instead of lost seats. And they're flexing their muscle. They're feeling themselves a lot more than they have in the past. And a couple of the new members are people that are like Carl DeMeo, who was a GOP personality. And a well-known figure, a radio talk radio host, San Diego political personality. He was well known before he got to the assembly, and he's a very good communicator that has made a lot of noise that hasn't been convenient. But on the flip side, Rivas and Democrats would argue that the majority parties always had this power, and that they're just doing they're exercising their ability to make decisions about who's on committees and keep those committees moving smoothly. And so he went with more moderate members that probably will make less noise and be less rabble-rousers on these committees.
Yeah, Dustin, it's always fascinating to me how much happens in state politics in a week. Everything we've talked about just happened over the course of a matter of days. Thank you for slowing things down a little bit and helping us digest everything that's taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. It really feels like 5 years in a week,
I
probably.
know. Dustin Gardner is the co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Up next, a beloved local butcher sent a mini shockwave through Sacramento last week when it announced it would be shutting its doors. The owner of V. Miller Meats joins us with the challenges of being a small business. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.